Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Joining us right now is the Heritage Foundation's Mike Gonzalez. He's the National Security and Foreign Policy Analyst over there. And Mike, you're joining us at a great time because President Trump is on his foreign trip. You're in today with Vince Colonnese and Ron Meyer. Thanks, Mike, for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on. And if you hear noise overhead, it's because I'm at Reagan flying out. So sorry about that.
That's all right. That's what happens in the nation's capital. People have a lot of work to do, and we're glad you could take some time out of your busy schedule. So the president of the United States, let's begin with NATO yesterday, goes and gives a pretty, I would say, audacious speech in front of NATO, being very frank that in front of this new 9/11 memorial, that these countries need to start meeting their obligations of 2% GDP. What did you make of that speech?
Yeah, well, there was a good side and a bad side. The good side, obviously, is that he's asking for the rest of the other NATO members to pony up. That is not a Trump thing. There has been many presidents before him. Many of his predecessors have asked our NATO partners, our treaty allies, to spend at least 2% of GDP on defense. We have carried the load for a very long time, so that part was good. I was somewhat disappointed that he did not mention Article 5, the mutual defense clause, because it would have been good to send Putin a message that he better not be audacious himself, especially with the Baltic states, who are NATO allies.
Yeah, Mike. So I think the question becomes, though, you say that the United States in the past, you're right, has always said that other countries in NATO should be paying their 2%. But the question is, has any other president before President Trump sat there and said to their face, with all of them sitting there, every major leader in NATO, that they should be paying their fair share directly to their face?
No, that was the first time it happened. Presidents have said it behind closed doors. And people have said it when they have left office more publicly. But the commitment has been there for a very long time. It was a commitment they made about 14 years ago to ramp up to that level. And I expect they will. And I think the pressure from President Trump speaking to them, with them standing right there in the room with them, very publicly in front of the cameras, I think that would help on that front.
On the issue of terrorism, obviously the Manchester attack this week, but President Trump has spent his foreign policy trip with an intense focus on countering Islamist extremism. And now he gets yesterday to this NATO summit, and he called on NATO to begin really focusing on shifting its resources towards terror. Do you think that that was well received? And what does it look like if NATO is actually helping counter terror in Europe for sure?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was also a good thing. You know, they need prodding on that front. And I think NATO, in fact, responded, and they're going to enhance their operations in countering terrorism. Don't forget when NATO was set up. 68 years ago, the fight was not about terrorism. It was the Soviet Union and defending West Germany from invasion from the east, the Volga Gap. That has changed now. Well, you know, Russia is still an adversary and a threat.
Yes,
but not to Germany so much this time. To the liberated Baltic states and the other nations on its periphery. But the real big threat that we face is the threat of terrorism, as Manchester made amply clear. So that was also a good thing that he. By the way, he's been saying this since the beginning of his campaign. So this has been a big theme with Trump.
So now that we've got the G7, President Trump to be in Sicily, and he's going to meet with the big seven countries to discuss economic issues and climate issues. Climate change, a big piece of conversation here, because a lot of these countries are hoping that President Trump doesn't rip up the Paris Agreement. But during the campaign, Trump said, hey, I want to get rid of this thing, and since has sounded like he's going to give it some thought when he meets with these leaders. What do you want to see the president do, and what do you expect is going to happen with this Paris Agreement?
Well, look, I hope he hangs tough in there and does get rid of the Paris Agreement. He's going to have to resist a lot of push from Emmanuel Macron of France. from Justin Trudeau of Canada and from Angela Merkel of Germany. They're big climate alarmists. And look, we can't. What we need right now is economic growth. We can't put more more impediments on job creation and economic growth. You know, on the 8 years under President Barack Obama, we had very, very slight growth. We never had 3% growth. And this is what the president's economic team has promised. And that creates jobs. So we need economic growth that creates jobs in the heartland, in the Rust Belt. And the climate treaty will not help economic growth. So no, he must stand firm and get rid of it.
Yeah, so the question, though, becomes, is this Jared Kushner's influence? Do you think that Jared Kushner is actually going to win at the end of the day? And have you heard anything politically? I mean, it's really weird, I think, for a lot of us that he's even second-guessing this. This was a big campaign promise.
Exactly. And I think people are going to hold him to it. His voters, his base, this is a big issue with them. I don't have any inside intelligence of what's happening inside the White House. I read the same reports that you do. That Kushner and the first daughter are big fans of the Paris climate agreement. I don't know that to be the case because, you know, the press gets a lot of things wrong. If there's one thing,
for
and
sure.
I'm a former journalist, and I like my friends in the media, but there's one thing they have proven with this president and with the campaign, really, for the last 24 months, the press has just gotten a lot of things wrong.
Mike,
maybe they're getting this one wrong, too.
And Mike definitely has the chops to answer that question. He worked with the Wall Street Journal. Mike, let's talk real quickly. You got about 30 seconds here. The other big issue is trade that's going to come up here. A lot of countries are concerned that the United States is becoming what they call protectionist, meaning that we're becoming, you know, we're deciding to impose tariffs potentially. How do you see that conversation playing out? And again, what would you like to see?
Well, I think America first means no tariffs, to be honest, because tariffs are paid for by American consumers, especially the people who voted for President Trump. These are the people who shop in big box stores, and if we put up tariffs, we're not hurting anybody else but ourselves. We do need jobs here. We do need to retain jobs here. The way to do that is by lowering taxes and lowering regulations, putting American workers and American companies on a level playing field. It is not by hurting American consumers.
All right. That's Mike Gonzalez from the Heritage Foundation with a curtain raiser on this G7 summit. We'll see how it goes. Mike, thanks so much for joining us on Mornings on the Mall.
You guys are doing great. Vince, you're doing great, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, sir.